For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to the Epistle of James, chapter 3, the verses 1 through 12. James, chapter 3, the verses 1 through 12. And there we read God's holy word, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But a tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree be, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." So far the reading of the Word of God. In James chapter 3 we read about the use of our tongue, about our speech, and this and other portions of Scripture is derived of what we read in Heidelberg Catechism Lord's Day 43. Lord's Day 43. And what is required in the ninth commandment? That I bear false witness against no man, nor falsely any man's words, falsify any man's word, that I be no backbiter, nor slanderer, that I do not judge, nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it. Also, that I defend and promote as much as I am able to honor and the honor and good character of my neighbor. Beloved congregation, tonight we will hear something about our tongue. What do you do with your tongue? Well, you need your tongue when you eat something. Did you know that taste buds are also found on your tongue? They allow you to experience tastes that are sweet, salty, sour, and bitter. And without your tongue, you would not be able to eat or taste yummy food. You need your tongue to speak as well. When you speak, your tongue moves. You see, our tongue is a very important body part. In Scripture, we read more often about the use of our tongue. It's always related to our speech. In Psalm 35, verse 28, we read, "My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." This is about the use of our tongue whereunto it was meant, namely, to glorify God. But we can also use our tongue falsely. In Psalm 34, we read the admonition, "Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile." And also the chapter we read this evening speaks about the use of the tongue. James is not so positive about it. It is shocking what he tells about it. He says that it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, verse 8. And at the close of verse 6, he says that the tongue sets on fire of hell. A clear message is conveyed. The sin which we commit with our tongue is abominable. The 9th commandment is about our speech. In the 3rd commandment, we read about our speech as well. What is the 3rd commandment? "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." In other words, you may not misuse your tongue by cursing the name of God. This commandment is about our relationship with the Lord. The 9th commandment is about the abuse of our tongue by lying to our fellow man. This is about our relationship with our neighbor, which comprises our friends and enemies, those in authority over us and our family. And the 9th commandment is as follows: "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." The first thing that stands out is that the wording of this commandment indicates a legal context. You bear witness when you stand in the witness box during a judicial proceeding. A witness, as witness, you must not lie. No, you have to tell the truth, and nothing but the truth. At the heart of a legal system is the discovery of evidence. Evidence requires witnesses. And even in ancient Israel, laws about jurisdiction were made by God. In Numbers 35 and Deuteronomy 17, we find statutes about witnesses. No one may be condemned by merely one witness. Plus, the witnesses should be consistent in their testimony. And therefore, a public hearing needs to take place. Oaths made, including a system of appeals, all of which are described in the first 5 books of the Bible. However, the 9th commandment is much broader than that. It is about all sins related to our tongue, to our speech. The Heidelberg Catechism provides a short list of sins against the 9th commandment. Beside bearing false witness, the Heidelberg Catechism mentions that we shall not falsify any man's words. This means passing on someone's words while exaggerating or minimizing them. We falsify a person's word when we consciously add or omit some words. Or when we take an expression out of its context, whereby the truth is twisted. There are sins which are not only done consciously. These are sins which are not only done consciously, but perhaps even more so unconsciously. And before you know it, you have made a story more colorful or dull. Though this may be done without a purpose, it is still sin. We are inclined to make a distinction between sin which we do on purpose and those we commit unconsciously. But we don't read in Scripture that sin against the ninth commandment committed unconsciously is less wicked. Twisting the truth is rebellion against God, who cannot stand anything that opposes truth. Consciously talking bad about a person is called backbiting and slander. Backbiting means that you talk about someone behind his or her back. The person you talk about must not hear it. You don't tell his faults to his face, and therefore you do it in his absence. Slander is even worse. Then you willfully spread an untruth and scatter lies to the detriment of another. There are almost no more dangerous persons than slanderers. You can lock your doors against thieves and murderers, but no locks or bars are available to protect you from slanderers. You are a slanderer before you know it. It begins so casually. Your conscience does not allow you to slander. So you begin your chat with an excuse. You begin like this: "I don't mean to gossip, but did you know that he has done this and that?" Or, "I should not talk about it, but I trust I can tell you a secret." And after this, the slander starts. Your conscience tells you that you are not sinning against the ninth commandment. However, God judges differently. If I really seek a person's well-being, I would consider whether my speech is to my neighbor's benefit. And most of the time, we had better be silent. Yes, but we need the truth. So why should I not tell the truth about a person, even if it is negative? Well, not all that is truth need to be told. And by no means if we want to tell the truth to satisfy someone's curiosity. You should tell the truth, but speak about another person with the Lord first. Pray for that person and beseech the Lord that he would have compassion on him or her. If we first pray for the person, we want to talk about, our desire to talk about the person will decrease. And if you love to talk about others, you should have a long list of needs to pray for. Neither should we judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, says the Heidelberg Catechism. How easily we judge a person on the basis of what we have heard from others without hearing the person him or herself. The Lord Jesus warns against this sin in Matthew 7 verse 1, "Judge not that ye not be judged. And maybe you reason, but if he or she tells me something, then I know it is true. He or she is a reliable person. Well, this is not how we should judge. Neither are we correct if we judge rashly, because it is about a person which has committed the same sin in the past. Suspicion also belongs to this category of sins. You distrust someone, and you judge a man rashly and don't talk to the man himself. The Heidelberg Catechism goes on a step further. All sorts of lies and deceit. Every kind of lie is sin against the ninth commandment. Also a lie that seems harmless, a so-called white lie. A little lie can avoid embarrassment, isn't it? You did not do your homework, and you made up a story which the teacher believes so that you will not be punished. You make up an excuse in your own interest. Well, this is simply a lie, because your own interest comes at the expense of telling the truth. Yes, but everyone does little lies. No, you're right. But this does not minimize the seriousness of sins against the ninth commandment. Is this sin really so terrible? Are we exaggerating? No, this sin is abominable. We cannot put into words the hideousness of this sin. Answer 112 uses sharp words derived from Scripture. What? All sin against the ninth commandment, even white lies, are works of the devil. Works of the devil. That does not mean that not we, but the devil is committing this sin. No, it means that we do devilish work. To lie is devilish. And the Heidelberg Catechism does not mention the devil in its study of the commandments, but only here, in the ninth commandment. What does the devil do? Well, he is the diabolus, prone to slander. He shakes apart. That is the literal meaning of his name. He shakes apart. What does he shake apart? The truth. To have a part of the truth is nothing but a lie. And he hates the truth, since he hates God. He is called the father of lies. Do you now understand the seriousness of sin against the ninth commandment? Public sin against the seventh commandment is appalling. And we take it seriously when someone commits adultery, since it is directly against God's holy will. And if one of us would have killed a person, we would all be shocked. But what if someone is openly gossiping? Are we shocked then as well? Scripture teaches us that sins against the ninth commandment are wicked. They are the works of the devil. Lying lips is an abomination to the Lord. We read about this sin on the first page of Scripture. Sin came into this world because Adam and Eve believed the devil's lie. The devil spread a lie using the serpent. He placed God's word under suspicion. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That was not what God had said. He twisted God's word a bit. And Eve listened and believe this lie rather than God's truth. And this is how we are by nature. We oppose God's truth. The Lord Jesus uncovers the spiritual leaders in his day by displaying their heresies. And the one who errs speaks lies, because an error is not according to God's truth. And the one who preaches heresies gives in to lies. Lies are from the devil. And therefore the Lord Jesus says to these leaders, "Ye are of your father the devil. He is a liar and the father of it." And you need to know that the devil is most active where truth reigns. Where the Lord works, the devil quickly comes as well to create confusion. He wants to twist God's word and destroy his work. Just recall the story about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They had sold their possessions and acted as if they had given the entire proceeds to the apostles, but they kept a part of it for themselves. They pretended to sacrifice all of the service for the service of the Lord, but it was a lie. They lied to the apostles, by which they lied also to the Holy Ghost. The devil tried to create separation in that young congregation. And in the light of this story, it should not surprise us that so much can go wrong in church. It's a blessing, an undeserved blessing, when there is peace in the congregation. Left to ourselves, there would be division, evil thoughts, and quarrels. It's the devil's goal to cause this all. And therefore we need to abhor sin. We should hate any form of lie. Solomon says in Proverbs 13, "A righteous man hateth lying." And Satan uses lies, backbiting and slander to disturb God's work. He wants God's name to be blasphemed in word and deed. He likes to place God's word under suspicion and to lead people to everlasting destruction. He does this as an angel of light. It starts so small, almost innocuously. He tries to entice people to speak not quite the whole truth. And people start gossiping and slander. It starts with a little spark. But a little spark can set on fire a complete forest. You know what fire does? It relentlessly consumes all. It destroys all in its path. It is like fire when we speak harsh about others. We don't mean to be rude, but the result is that we are. The Apostle James says that our tongue is like a very small helm. A helm governs a whole ship. Well, have you ever seen a super tanker? They can be longer than 1,000 feet. And yet they are moved by a small helm. One simple move of the helm changes the whole super tanker's direction. The same can be said about our tongue. It's very small, but it can ruin relationships and rip families apart. It can cause serious tension in a marriage. Lies, backbiting, slander, rash judging, gossip. It's all sin against the 9th commandment. And if you cherish these sins instead of fighting against them, you appear to be an enemy of God. It would be a blessing if each one of us realizes the seriousness of this sin. And we need to look into the mirror so that our sins against the ninth commandment get exposed. And who does not find reason to humble himself before the Lord? Then you learn to bow before God's truth, which is honest and uncovering. And you will acknowledge every sin against the ninth commandment and realize that you have plenty reason to tremble before the Lord and say with Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." Do you know of the prayer? "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me from my unclean lips. Cleanse me from my unclean tongue. Cleanse my thoughts and grant the grace that I will not use my tongue for deceit and lies, for backbiting and slander." Are you never afraid to say too much about a person? The Lord needs to place a watch, a guard before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. And we should take to heart the admonition to let our words be few. We have to give account for every spoken word. And if we realize more the danger of our tongue, we will be more cautious of what we say. And we need to fight against this sin. Cherishing the sin means that we loading ourselves with God's just wrath. Thomas Watson states it very sharply. "The furnace of hell is heated for liars. Oh, abhor this sin." In Revelation 22, verse 15, we read, "Without are sorcerers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." We kindle the wrath of God by our lies. This means that if we are sloppy in fighting against every kind of lie, we are putting ourselves in spiritual darkness. We become a stumbling block to God and His grace. We grieve the Spirit by our lies. No, we cannot resist the Holy Spirit. But we can grieve Him so that He withholds His powerful work in our lives. And then you will lack the sweet nearness of the Lord through Word and Spirit. What do we need? Well, repentance and faith. We should take heed of breaking the ninth commandment. How? By seeking to live in the fear of the Lord. David says in Psalm 19, verse 9, that the fear of the Lord is clean. Why clean? Because when we live in childlike confidence on the Lord and at the same time fear God's holiness and majesty, we will keep our tongue from slander. Our hearts need to be cleansed because the sin of slander and lying comes out of our heart. The Lord teaches His disciples in Matthew 15, verse 18, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." And by nature, we all are liars. To lie is part of our disposition. And therefore we need a clean heart. Therefore we need God's intervention. Therefore we need the renewing work of the Holy Ghost. We need to be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus has suffered greatly under the wrath of God on account of all our sins, also the sins against the ninth commandment. He has suffered under many reproaches and lies. People called him every mean name. He was even called Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And when he stood before Pilate and Herod, he heard all kinds of false accusations. He was taken and sentenced to death as a blasphemer. And Jesus held his peace. He did not defend himself. Not that he acknowledged his guilt. He knew his innocence. He permitted himself to be crucified as a slanderer and a liar and to die as a blasphemer. Why? In order to satisfy God's offended justice. Otherwise, you and I will have to be condemned as liars. The Lord Jesus voluntarily suffered to pay the penalty due to his people. In this manner, he has merited the forgiveness of sins and the renewing of heart and mind. That means that the tongue which no man can tame will be tamed by the Spirit. And the Spirit teaches us to speak to God's honor and glory. Are you in need of this grace? Are you in need of his cleansing, since you have discovered that it is true? My tongue is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. I am guilty before God. I am burdened with my guilt of lying and slander. The Lord Jesus Christ has made atonement for sin by his sacrifice on the cross. And by his death he has conquered the father of lies, namely Satan and all his companions. The word of truth that came out of his mouth has been proven to be true. He is the promised Messiah who fulfills all the promises of God. He is faithful to his own word. And what happens when the Holy Spirit renews your heart? Well, he pours out God's love into your heart. And love is a lovely grace. Love thinks no evil, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Love thinks no evil. What does it mean? Well, his love causes you to think well of your neighbor. Thomas Watson again, he says, love puts the best interpretation upon another's words. Love puts the best interpretation upon another's words. Love is a well-wisher, and it is rare to speak ill of him we wish well to. Love is the hinderer of slander. Love pursues the truth. That is a trait of a Christian lifestyle. And Paul admonishes the believers in Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That you have a strong desire to use your tongue to God's honor and glory. Your speech needs to be renewed day by day. Paul says in Colossians 4 verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Let your speech be always with grace. With grace. That means that your speech is governed by God's grace. What does that mean? Does this mean that you can only talk about spiritual matters during the day and that you abhor talking about matters regarding daily life? No, that is not meant by these words. A speech with grace means that God's grace controls your life, your heart, and therefore also your speech. With grace means that you're increasingly suspect your heart and your speech, and that you depend on the Lord's direction. Such speech is seasoned with salt, says Paul. It means that your speech is flavored with what? With love. And that you cannot speak well. And then you cannot but speak well of others. You seek the best for others. You are gentle to others. And this affects the manner you treat each other in the congregation, but also your attitude to your neighbors and to visitors of the congregation. This also means that you are upright to others. If we have said something wrong, we will confess our sins. First toward the Lord, but also to our neighbors. And children, if you lied to your parents, you should confess this as sin to the Lord, but also to your parents. And parents, if you falsely suspected your child of wrongdoing, you should confess that to them as well. If your desire is focused on God's truth by the renewing grace of the Lord, you will want to refrain from any form of lie. You will stay as far as possible from all slanders, since you know that the old man craves gossip, slander, and backbiting. Every day you can hear news about world leaders and other famous people. Many things are said about persons, but to be always up to date on the latest news has a downside. Namely, that we hear so many lies and slanders about men. Not all that is newsworthiness is worthy to listen to. Let your craving for news be satisfied with the news of God's Word. Only God's Word makes us wise unto salvation. Finally, the Heidelberg Catechism mentions that a true believer seeks the well-being of his neighbor. Also that I defend and promote as much as I am able to honor and the honor and good character of my neighbor. Maybe you thought that you may never talk behind someone's back, but that's not true. No, you may talk about others.
Really?
Yes. You may say all kinds of things about others, which defend and promote their honor and good character. Tell nothing about your neighbor but good things. Your neighbor. There's everyone beside you. Not only your friends, but also the person that opposes you. Also the person that slanders about you. Well, that's easier said than done. Well, I understand. We can only do this by God's grace, since it is against our nature. However, when you seek a life in the fear of the Lord, and you know something of God's love in your heart, you will also take this commandment to the Lord in prayer. Lord, will thou teach me to defend and promote the honor and good character of my neighbor, that I may do this with zeal and love? Do you know how you learn this? By praying for that person. And the more you pray for your neighbor, the more you will love him. Maybe you have some difficulty with a person. And maybe you find it difficult to love that person. Do you pray for him or her? That would change your attitude and your feelings to another. Maybe you say, yeah, but I suffer a lot from liars and slanderers. I've been falsely accused and it bothers me daily. Well, there's a little you can do against this. If you know you are innocent, be comforted that the Lord knows that as well. And may this knowledge be your joy. Peace in your heart and a good conscience is a wall that can stand against all false witnesses. And at the same time, we should always examine ourselves whether we give reason for slander. No, there is no excuse for others to gossip about you. But if you live a double-minded life, you provide fodder for gossip. And when you say one thing and do the other, you don't live an honest life. If you profess to know something of spiritual life, but you are not humble toward others, you defile your own name and honor. And if you cherish a bosom sin, you don't only defile your own honor, but also God's honor. And this is a sin only church people can commit. The ungodly lifestyle of a baptized member is blasphemy of God's holy and majestic name. And we are inclined to live a double life. If we are not pure and upright, we also sin against the ninth commandment. Young people, examine your Instagram account and other social media. Why? Well, how do you present yourself? And how do you respond to others? Can the last sentence of answer 112 of the Heidelberg Catechism be the statement of your account? I defend and promote, as much as I am able, the honor and good character of my neighbor. Maybe some pictures and statements need to be removed, and a new comment needs to be made. And invite your parents to be one of your followers, and realize that the Lord follows you everywhere, with every social media. You know for what purpose God has given you a voice. You know that. A mouth, a tongue. God created us with a speech. For what purpose? To speak well about Him. To sing about Him. To use your mouth to glorify God, the God of the covenant in whose name you are baptized. What does it really mean for you to be baptized? He has set you apart from the world to glorify His name. He made a covenant with you one-sidedly. And the promises and obligations of this covenant of grace should rule your life. It is to His honor and glory. When you seek the Lord, when you seek His kingdom first, and if you don't seek Him first of all, your life can impossibly be to His honor. On the contrary, as long as you seek the things of this life first and God's kingdom secondly, you slander His holy name. And then we curse God with our wicked lives, and then we bring upon ourselves the heavy wrath of God. We need to know Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the sake of his deceitful people has sacrificed his life so that we would live in communion with God again and live to his honor. And there's no salvation apart from Christ. You need to know him whose name is given among men. By him you must be saved. And only through him you can truly speak a word to God's honor. How many words have you already heard about God? How many words did you speak? Millions of words. And yet, did you ever speak one word to his honor? Will you not humble yourself before the Lord? Will you not confess your sins before the Lord? Lord, I have never spoken one word to thy honor and glory, though thou hast created me in order that I would glorify thy name. O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this prayer is to his honor and glory, and it will be heard. He will be glorified if you are in need of his grace. And if you know the Lord by faith, we also sense the need of the fulfillment of the ninth commandment. Yes, you are right. It is fulfilled in Christ. However, in this lifetime, we still sin against the ninth commandment. And in abhorring your sin, you will notice so much filthiness that remains in this lifetime. And if it's well, you will sigh because of the corruption of your tongue. And you sin by using your tongue falsely and by being silent while you should speak up. We can utter so many words which are all nothing but vanity. But what will the fulfillment of the ninth commandment look like? When my speech will totally be to his honor and glory. Then God will wipe away your tears from your eyes, but he will also wipe off all reproaches on your name and from his name. And then every speech will be governed by truth. And that desire of God's people leads to an humble prayer. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. You know what? When the Lord opens your mouth by his Spirit, you cannot be silent anymore. And then you cannot say anything but good of him. And what about hope? Oh, the day of days will come. The great city, the holy Jerusalem, will descend out of heaven, and no lie shall enter into it. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. What matters is whether you are found in him, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The devil is the father of lies. Christ is the truth. To whom do you belong? You need to be engrafted in Christ by faith. Only behind his blood you are safe. And only by Christ you can live in sweet communion with God again, delivered from all impurity and lies. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen.